Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for the C Block with special guest from StarsThoughts.com. It is Robert Tiffin. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Good to talk to you guys.
Is it weird that in a time when we're like 30 hours away from the start of the Stars season, a lot of the preseason talks, specifically in the last week, has been, hey, what city are they going to move to?
Yeah, that feels like the business side of sports, right? It's always kind of lurking there, overshadowing everything, and you never know when it's going to rear its ugly head.
Do you get a good sense of which city is the most logical one for this team?
Well, the report's coming out on, 5 o'clock on a Friday, which is always a great time for a news dump like that, right? The report seemed to suggest that Plano had a lot going for it. And, if you believe all the talk about the real estate, I think President and CEO Brad Alberts also, mentioned that in some other reports, the morning news and some other places about, they're looking at how can we get revenue every day of the year. And, sports stadiums these days, it's more about the real estate venture and all the other businesses, the Texas Live stuff we see the Rangers do. And everyone knows Jerry Jones owns half of Arlington at this point, I think. So, you can see how that model would appeal to them and how downtown would be a tougher proposition to find that much property.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, Robert, when Glenn Gullitson was originally here, Kevin and I both had a good opportunity to get to know him. He was on with us frequently when we were just a weekend show at the time. And so we got a good vibe of what he was back then. What is your idea of the vibe with him right now, and how do you feel his overall strategy is going to differ from what we've seen in the past with DeBoer?
Yeah, it's interesting just having gotten to know him a little bit myself over the past couple of months since he was introduced here and hired and brought in. He's really upfront about how much he's learned since then. He uses the word green a lot to describe him from back in the day. And he's also been pretty clear that while they don't want to, reinvent the wheel and change a lot because, the people probably know it's a pretty good hockey team. They've made it to the semifinals or third round or Western Conference final, whatever you want to call it. They've made it deep into the playoffs for 3 years in a row. And anyone who remembers Gullitson's first stint knows that was not always a guarantee at all with this team for the past 15 years. So he doesn't want to reinvent the wheel, but they are doing some new things. It's pretty clear to me that part of his kind of interview process was him saying, hey, here's what I'm going to change. And he's been pretty vocal about those things involving the defensive zone and a little bit about the forecheck and maybe even having more of a kind of traditional fourth line than we saw with DeBoer, where they rolled four lines kind of all looking to score.
Now, I know it can be a positive, like you were saying, to come into a really, really good team, but also like, how intimidating can that be knowing, they did fire their last coach after he made it to three straight, as you just brought up, Western Conference finals. That feels like that could be a bit overwhelming in the back of your head.
Yeah. On the one hand, he was asked about this, I guess it was a week or two ago now, but they asked him like, will you consider it a failure if you guys don't go all the way or something like that? And he, to his credit, and I have found him so far to be a pretty frank and honest sort of, again, we'll see how it goes as the season gets going, but he's been pretty honest and frank about stuff. And he was pretty clear that, no, the season isn't measured on, whether you get all the way or not. It's about a lot of different things. They've got a really good team, and obviously you don't usually see a coaching change when you've been that successful for 3 years in a row. So he's been pretty vocal about how excited he is because, boy, talk about, it couldn't be any more different than his first stint when he came on kind of knowing the team and the organization was in a pretty tough spot, whereas opposed to now he's kind of coming in with, you've got a ready-made cup contender and boom, you get to bring this guy in who just coached for a team that made the Stanley Cup finals, 2 years in a row. So I think he's more excited than intimidated. That's the sense I get because he knows how good this team is. But of course those expectations are going to be in the background all year long. And, they start off with a pretty tough schedule. So certainly if they scuffle a little bit early on, I'm sure you'll hear some whispers about, oh boy, I don't know. So we'll see how it goes.
All All right. So I'm glad you added the last part, because I know he can say it's not a failure if they don't go all the way. But I, as a fan, can sit here and think it's a failure of a season if they don't go all the way, right?
Yeah, legally, we've not found a way to stop fans from being fans yet. So okay. Until that technology is introduced, you're allowed to do that.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad that you said that. Hey, by the way, you were just talking about, you know, made reference to Gullitson, and we've talked a lot the last couple of days about the Oilers. What did you think about the power move from Connor McDavid to essentially say, all right, everybody, you got 730 days to figure this out, or I'm gone?
Yeah. It's funny. I asked Gullitson about this yesterday, actually. We were talking about a couple of things, and he said he wasn't surprised a bit. For him, it's been really clear. He knows Connor McDavid probably just about as well as any coach in the league. I mean, he was there for 7 years in Edmonton and coaching their power play the whole time, which, you know, most people probably know Connor McDavid's a pretty big part of that power play.
Yeah.
And he said he wasn't surprised. For him, it really is true. For McDavid, it's all about winning. It's not about the dough. And, you know, just sticking with his same salary, even as we've seen everything else kind of explode in recently around the NHL in terms of salaries, McDavid, it's pretty clear. He's telling the team, okay, I'll give it another shot, and I'm not going to be the reason you can't fill out the edges of the roster because I'm taking some huge cap hit. But I'm also not promising to be here for another decade. You guys got to show that we can actually win here, and if not, I've got a pretty easy exit strategy in a couple of years.
Man, and he took a massive pay cut. Like I think we all could have easily seen him kind of probably tip the scale at $20 million per year. So for him to pop in at 12.5, that felt like a huge discount.
Yeah, the comparison I've seen is to, you know, Sidney Crosby famously kind of took an $8.7 million salary for a long time to match his number. And I really think that if you're Connor McDavid, you're approaching 30 in your career, you're looking around and you're thinking about the legacy of these other, like, first overall picks.
Yeah.
Who were, like, franchise guys and kind of the guys you're following in the footsteps of. And, you know, whether it's Nate MacKinnon in Colorado, who was on a really good value deal for a while, whether it's Sidney Crosby, even Alex Ovechkin eventually won his cup a little bit older, a little bit later on. I think McDavid doesn't want to be the guy who got his bag and, you know, made his pile. But ultimately, you know, the talk is, well, boy, that team sure paid him, but they never could quite surround him with the supporting cast. I think for him, it's all about winning and his legacy at this point in his career. He doesn't want to be the guy who's lurking into 34, 35 and, you know, having to go team by team each year to try to find a cup. He really wants to win, and he's okay with taking a discount to make that a little more bit more possible.
All right. Since you've been covering the team for a good little bit now, I know everybody wants to get paid, but are there stars players that you think of when you're like, man, that is somebody who would rather die than not win? You know what I'm saying? Like, that has that same level of mentality.
It's funny enough, the Stars only have two Stanley Cup winners on their roster. One of them is Mikko Rantanen, of course, who won with Colorado a few years ago. But the other one is Tyler Seguin, who won really, really early in his career in Boston. I think it was technically his rookie season. And my read from all the conversations I've had with Tyler Seguin over the past year and change now is that winning a cup in Dallas, and he said this explicitly, winning a cup in Dallas is his biggest goal of his career at this point. He's not thinking about milestones or scoring records or anything. He wants to, I mean, he's been here 12 years now. What, 12?
Has it really been that long?
Yep.
Holy moly.
Yeah, 2013. So I think this will be his 13th season in Dallas. He wants to bring a cup here. He's been here a long time. He wants to. He said he wants to stay in Texas after his career's done, whenever that is. He really does consider it his home here. Here's where he wants to raise his family. You know, he has a young daughter that he and his wife had last year. So I really do think, I mean, certainly Jamie Benn, everyone would put at the top of that list.
Yeah.
Who's recovering. He's never won. But aside from those guys who've never won, those veterans kind of getting up there like Ben, I low-key actually think for Tyler Seguin, even though he has one cup under his belt, I think it would mean as much as it would to anyone for him to win one too.
How is Jamie doing?
The update we got is that he's about 2 weeks away, according to Glenn Gullitson, from beginning kind of the work. You have to be shut down When you get a hole in your lung, apparently it's a big deal and you're not supposed to breathe too hard.
So, right.
Jamie was at the rink yesterday. We saw him just kind of out there in street clothes watching practice. And Gullitson said walking around is about all he can do right now. But of course, it was good to see him there. Gullitson had the great line about the last thing that Jamie Benn wants is sympathy. So he didn't want anyone visiting him when he was in the hospital. And Gullitson said he's pretty sure Jordy Benn, his brother, had to sneak into the hospital just to be allowed to visit Jamie while he was there. So,
and he was probably enraged when he saw him.
Oh, I can only imagine. That was probably the most taxing thing on his lungs, was screaming at his brother. But yeah. Now that he's back around the team, that's a good sign for everyone. And the hope is that in about 2 weeks here, he'll be able to start working his way back.
That's great to hear right there. I am kind of curious how these defensive pairings might look this season and what your expectation is for that group.
Yeah, on defense, it's interesting because Noah Lundqvist, who got hurt about halfway through the season, fans might remember, Jim Nill, the first time he ever traded a first-round pick after almost 9 years of being the Stars GM, he traded a first-round pick to get Noah Lundqvist in 2022, and he just hasn't quite, under Pete DeBoer, he never quite was able to either take that step or something else got in the way, whether, it's the playoffs and, we have to prioritize more veteran experience or bigger size. Or last year, Lundqvist got injured right around the same time as Heiskanen, which is really unfortunate because that would have been a great chance for Lundqvist to really step up and fill that hole left by Heiskanen. But he got hurt and missed the rest of the season also. So he's going to start on a pair with Thomas Harley, whereas Heiskanen's going to start with Esa Lindell. So splitting up Harley and Heiskanen, at least for the bulk of the game, I'm sure you could see them reunited, late in the game if they're trailing, put kind of a super pairing out there. But those two pairings should be really interesting to see because if Harley and Lundqvist can actually be a good, stable second pairing, that gives the Stars two really dangerous pairings when you have Heiskanen on one and Harley on the other who can really move the puck up the ice. So I think that's the plan. And then, of course, you've got Leon Bischel on that third pairing who can just hit anyone through the board.
Yes.
It looks as good as it has in recent years.
Okay, so you just hit that because when you were talking about the second pairing, you said interesting, and now obviously interesting can flow one distinct way or another, but you just said, if I heard correctly, it looks as good as it probably has the last few years because it feels like we've had a lot of repetitive conversations about, I don't know about that third line, or I don't know how many blue liners they really got. So you are feeling confident about the defense?
Yeah, I think so. Now, Chris Tanev, when they got him at the deadline 2 years ago, he was unquestionably that top four piece that really Jim Nill's been looking for a long, long time. A long time they've been looking for that player. Steven Johns, way back in the day, was going to be that player, but of course his career unfortunately ended due to post-concussion headaches and things like that, which is really unfortunate. But they had Tanev briefly, but if you remember, even 2 years ago when they did have Tanev in the playoffs, that's the same playoffs where DeBoer basically chose to just roll five defensemen because Nils Lundqvist was basically playing 2 minutes and then get benched for the rest of the game until they finally brought Alex Petrovic up for the first time to finally kind of round out the pairings. But even then, they didn't have Leon Bischel up quite yet. So now that they have Leon Bischel, who's a really, really promising, a huge young defenseman who can skate, who's really big, he's going to lead the team in hits this year again, I'm sure. And then if Lundqvist, to me, he's the biggest X factor. If he can be a stable second pairing defenseman next to Harley, he doesn't have to be a power play guy or anything like that, then I think the Stars could have three bona fide solid pairings, which they really haven't had for a long time.
Is Bischel the most gigantic human being you've seen in real life on a consistent basis?
I would put him right up there with, I met Darian Hatcher last year.
Oh, yeah.
I would put them on a similar level. I think Hatcher there's a little bit more of an aura around him, and he's also just bigger in every sense, right? Hatcher's, Bischel is still just, 21 years old, I think. So he hasn't quite filled out in all the ways, that Hatcher did when we saw him in the prime of his career. But Bischel is huge when you see him, especially if, times we see him in the room coming off the ice, he's still in skates.
Oh yeah,
and the phrase towering over you, that is invented to describe Leon Bischel. Absolutely, he's massive.
I remember seeing Darian Hatcher walking through North Park Mall with his child on his shoulder, and I was terrified for that child. I was like, that is so high up in the air. All this being said, Robert, does it please
will you ask him if he still thinks Darian Hatcher could?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kick some ass.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he just basically told us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Since this is public, absolutely, I am not going to disparage Jerry Hatcher in any way whatsoever. Yeah.
I was going to say, does any of this matter, though? The Panthers won the game one last night. Mm. Aren't they just starting their tour right now?
Yeah. The hope, if you're the Stars, the hope you kind of have as far as can anyone else finally climb that mountain, because they've been getting knocked out by Edmonton the last couple of years, and Edmonton's been getting pretty much trounced by Florida the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But if there's hope, it's that Florida is missing a couple pieces. Matthew Tkachuk's going to be out till at least December, and then Alexander Barkov's going to be out for at least most of the season, if not all. They're not sure yet, but Barkov did his ACL and his MCL in practice, actually, during the preseason. So that was a crushing blow for the Panthers. That's their captain and one of their very best players. So the window might be a little bit more open. Of course, you could imagine in Edmonton, they have all the incentive in the world now to win absolutely right now, because if you don't, then McDavid's gone in a couple of years. So it's going to be tough, but I think if you're the Stars, you still feel like your window is pretty wide open. And if anything, the best team in the league just got a little bit more beatable. So that's a little bit of good news.
There we go.
Well, hopefully people have learned by listening to you with us last season and now to kick off this, that you want to be in the loop. StarsThoughts.com is the place to go and the place to go subscribe. I know you're also a regular on with the Spits and Suds podcast. We love having you on, man. Thank you for the time and information.
Anytime, you guys. Always enjoy it.
There you go. Robert Tiffin.
That is so good.
He is. StarsThoughts.com. And he also publicly acknowledged the awesome physical specimen that is Mr. Hatcher.
He is a giant dude.
I loved his answer of, well, I mean, especially.
It's a public forum here. Yeah, I better make sure. Yeah. Forum.
Coming up next, this has been, I don't know, 7.5 months in the making.
Mike should be here for this.
That is a good point. It is time from My Buddy's an Idiot, but also we will have on from FC Dallas, Lawless Abubakar. That is the player that back at the end of February, I asked him about celebrating his Christmas birthday, and he said he did not celebrate Christmas, and we still get texts about that every single Wednesday. He will be back as well. All of that next right here on The Fan.
Third and short. First down, DeMarcado off to the races. 20-10 touchdown.
Did he drop it early? Boy, that's going to be close.
Oh, my goodness. Boy, he extended it with his hand a little bit.
Did Sneed's trying to say that he got the ball out.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan right now. It's time for a little bit of My Buddy's an Idiot. And I will preemptively say, at least partially starring me, as in a few minutes we're going to have Lawless Abubakar right here on 105 through the Fan. And as the FC Dallas player that I asked about Christmas 7 months ago, because that's when his birthday is, and he does not celebrate Christmas. Ever since then, every single week, I get people telling me to ask FC Dallas players about Easter, the resurrection, the crucifixion.
Dude, he goes as far as, like, ask Jerry these questions, yes, too. Hey, dude, yes, don't forget, ask him like you did Lawless.
Yes. So, we'll see how that goes. All right. Do you think that the Cardinals are idiots because of what resulted from that play that we just played? Jonathan Gannon got in DeMarcado's face, and the Cardinals have fined Jonathan Gannon $100,000. Not the league, the Cardinals. And they said there will be no more discipline. Do you think they're idiots for that? Or when you, like, kind of push someone or whatever, are you going to get a fine? Did you think it was a difference between, like, hey, come on, man, you got this, and
yeah, I thought there was a definite difference.
Okay.
That looked like I don't have the audio. They have the audio. I mean, you see the sounds from the sideline with the Cowboys all the time. You know, yes, that they have the, yes, audio. They know what he said.
And you think he's like, hey, dip ass, be better.
Probably. So okay. if that was, now, he also put his hands on a player, and I wonder if that's a big a big deal.
Fair question.
You know, I have no clue what the CBA says about anything like that. But they also probably want a little bit better from their head coach in that moment. Now, I understand being that ticked off. You lost the game because of the dude. You lost the game. That was where it started for you. But I think that's the big factor there.
Now,
I didn't like that he apologized for it sounded like the apology was for the reaction, not that action. And the reaction was right. That one action was wrong. But the reaction of being that disappointed, that upset, that angry, absolutely was the right thing.
Now, is restaurant technologies an idiot in this situation? Do you know who Perry Toll is? I guarantee you do. You just might not know his name.
Creator of the Toll Road.
That's spelled differently, but screw him if that's the case. No, he is the person who it really sounds like valiantly fought off impaired Mark Sanchez to do his job. That's the guy. He got stabbed. He went to the hospital, and now he might get fired because he had a knife, and that is apparently in violation of his company's no weapon policy. So this reminds me selfishly of when I got fired from Blockbuster for kicking in that window when I was trying to protect them. Is this dude going to get fired from his job?
For self-defense.
Yes, because he was trying to protect the grease. Remember, that's what Mark Sanchez goes, I don't want you to change the grease.
I talked to the manager.
Yeah, and you can't park there. He talked to the manager about all these issues while...
When?
He didn't. So
this makes me mad.
It hasn't happened yet, but it could.
I'm mad preemptively.
Okay.
Because I feel like, Kevin, there's a possibility that he's going to be affected more by this than Mark Sanchez is.
I could see that.
And that's going to infuriate me. And the streets should rise up from that.
Oh my goodness.
I don't have any answers that's not a call to action.
It felt like one.
I should probably really back off that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, hopefully.
It will really irritate me, though, if that's the case, because doesn't it seem like, high-profile person, well, even though he was in the wrong,
yes,
this guy on a technicality, this is the same as if you're on the road and you have a car that's not registered.
Yes.
And you get in a wreck, your car shouldn't have been on the road.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter if you got hit, in my opinion. You shouldn't have been on the road in the first place. It's a wild world.
Now, is every single person who fell for LeBron James nonsense an idiot? Or is it LeBron James for putting out the second decision?
I really thought when I saw one commercial for it and I was like, oh, he's retiring.
Yeah.
That was exactly what I was thinking. And then I moved on with my life.
Yeah. And you notice we did not talk about it at all on Tuesday or Monday. We didn't talk about it at all yesterday. But I did see a graphic this morning that said average ticket prices to that final Lakers home game went from like $88 to $520 because everybody thought the same thing.
Jeez, man. I will say this. Dude does know how to get attention.
That's a good marketing ploy.
But as I just said, when I thought he retired and moved on with my life, just as I saw the announcement he made, I had moved on with my life as well.
There you go. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, joining the show from FC Dallas, it is Lala Sabubakar. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing good. Did you get the opportunity to talk with your buddy Paxton Pomacall after his interview with us last week?
I did.
Did he give you the breakdown of the level of embarrassment I still carry over asking you about your birthday on Christmas?
I know he did. He did talk to me about it, and I it was a little bit funny though. And I was like, yeah, they didn't realize I didn't celebrate Christmas, but I only get one present. You know, that's my birthday present. But that was funny.
So we do interviews with somebody from the club every single Wednesday. That interview happened at the end of February. I kid you not. Every single Wednesday, regardless of who we have on from FC Dallas, they're like, hey, don't ask him about his birthday or don't ask about every single week, man. So
yeah, I always get that question. You know, do you get two presents on Christmas? And I said, oh no, I don't celebrate Christmas, so I only get one present. But yeah.
Well, I have learned a big lesson from that, and I promise I have used it now.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
My interviews going forward, I try to stay away from asking questions about religion or birthdays. So I promise I have learned from that.
Yeah, you're fine. You're good. It's all good.
Now, on the field, and thank you for being...
I'm so happy y'all were able to make that moment happen.
Thank you for being a good sport about that. I really appreciate it. Now, on the field... Last eight matches, FC Dallas has not lost. Four wins, four draws. You guys haven't lost a match since the end of July. What has that done to change the team's confidence going into these last two matches for the regular season?
I mean, it's huge. It's huge. You can tell now every game that we play, we approach, or every game that we approach it as a final. You know, every single game is a final for us. You know, so... And you know, every single player has bought in it. You know, we understand the magnitude of each game, you know, and everybody, you know, everyone is just ready, you know, whatever the coaches, you know, talk to us about, you know, we just, you know, bought into it and just, you know, ready for each game. And you know, you can tell, you know, togetherness, you know, we play together, we play for each other, we fight for each other. I think that's the key, you know, the togetherness is there. You know, we got each other's back, and that's what is getting us going.
Have you felt the reciprocation from the fans too in this stretch, since y'all been playing with a different vibe? And I think the fan base is really excited about it right now.
Yeah, we do. I mean, you know, the reason why we're doing really well now, you know, because, you know, you can feel the support, you know, every single home game, you know, even on the road, you know, we see them, you know, and they are support, you know, they are the 11th man on the field, you know, and they help us a lot, you know, Every time we come out and we see them, it's just extra motivation, you know. And, you know, and we play for them, and it's just beautiful, you know.
How much do you think the matchup's going to change now that you guys are playing the Galaxy again? I know we're switching venues. I know it's a week apart, but y'all just beat the Galaxy. How different do you think this next match is going to be against them?
That's a good question. I think, you know, we like I said, you know, the way we play now, you know, I don't think a lot is going to change. We're just going to be, you know, the same, you know, play the way we play, you know, trusting each other, you know, we got each other's back. You know, we go out there with whatever the coaches is going to, you know, tell us to do. We just buy into it and, you know, be ready for it and go out there and, you know, do our thing, you know. So it's going to, I don't think much is going to change. You know, like you said, we just played them, you know, a couple of days ago. We just gotta be ready, and you know, for the game. Yeah.
Are you able to ignore the rest of the teams and the standings, and just be like, "Hey, if we just get 3 points, we're good to go"? Or do you look at the other results across the league?
No, I think this is the game. This is it. You know, this is the game. We don't want to, you know, like, you know, today in the meeting, coach was saying, you know, we don't want to go into the final. They're thinking about getting 3 points, you know. I mean, we need it, but, you know, this is the game. This is the game that we need the most 3 points, you know, than ever. You know, I think this is the game, you know, just do whatever it takes, get a 3 points, and, you know, don't, you know, go into the decision day not thinking up too much about, you know, you need to win. But, you know, this is the game, like I said, you know, we need to be ready, you know, go out there, whatever it takes, for us to get the three points, and then, you know, whatever happens on decision day, you know, we go from there.
Can I tell you one more story about our original interview back at the end of February?
Yeah, I want to hear.
So one of our co-hosts at the time, who's now a broadcaster for the Texas Rangers, when we interviewed you, we were in Arizona at Ranger spring training. As soon as we finished the show, we saw a Rangers player, Marcus Semien, in the parking lot, and our co-host sprinted over to him, and he's like, Marcus, you got to hear this. My guy Kevin right here just asked an FC Dallas player about his birthday, and it's on Christmas, and he didn't celebrate, and they laughed and laughed and laughed. So
redemption, God, redemption for Kevin today, huh?
I know, exactly.
Well, thank you very much for providing this redemption for me. That's and awesome. Obviously, you guys have been rocking and rolling the last couple months. But like you said, it's all about the LA Galaxy match this weekend. We'll all be focused. We'll all be rooting. Thank you very much for your time, good sir.
Thank you, man. Thank you, guys. You know, I appreciate everything you guys do. Thank you.
Let's roll.
There you go.
Love it.
Lala Sabubakar right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Do you feel redeemed? Do you feel like...
Can
you let that off your shoulders now?
I think so, right?
Will the Tolos let it go?
Do you think
the Tolos are going to let that let it go, or do you think they'll ever ask again?
Chance.
No shot, because I'm not going to let it go, so they shouldn't need it. Not at all.
It does make me feel better when he was like, no, yeah, it happens a lot. He goes, I just get one present. Because everyone, that is very relatable, because, you know, like one of the reasons I asked the question is because my wife's birthday is on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And so we've always kind of talked about the dynamic of splitting it up. So I did feel for him when he goes, no, people are like, oh, do you get two presents? He goes, just one present. And like, he kind of felt like a little bummed about that, but I'm glad that he said it happens and that I have learned to not ask about that.
You're doing great, buddy. I'm proud of you. You know what? That must have been like really cleansing for you.
It was. And I will tell you this. I don't know if I've said this on air before. About 3 weeks after that interview, we had another FC Dallas player on, and he talked about what a huge part his faith is in his life. And I was like, this is a trick, because I'm going to ask about faith, and he's going to be like, what?
Hey, Kevin, real quickly, Tommy Yarish reporting did not see Donovan Wilson, Kevontae Turpin, or Jack Sanborn at the media's viewing of practice today, and Miles Sanders was out there for some of the media's viewing period, but went back to the locker room early.
I'm not as surprised about Sanborn, because I know he kind of kept it vague, but Shoddy was talking about like the progression that people were making. Obviously, Turpin and Wilson, not necessarily what you want to hear. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
He sends one the other way. Well-struck ball, deep left field, and gone. Raleigh's first of the playoffs, and it's 8-1 Seattle. They are feeling it.
And they would win that game to have the opportunity to move on to the ALCS today. We will see how that goes. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing, Hagee. How are you?
I am pumped, and I wanted to gauge y'all's excitement level about this amazing day of baseball, because 2, 4, 6, 8 is when the games start. Every single one of them could be an elimination game. Broadus, you like to ask about day baseball. This is the ultimate peak day baseball day.
Yeah, I grew up in an era where like playoff baseball was day baseball.
Yeah.
I grew up in an era too where the World Series was day baseball too. So it's really nice to see these games come off at the times they do.
Yeah. What about you guys?
I just got to be honest with you. I hope if there's a weather delay, they make it very clear that whatever game's on the television during our show is
not a replay.
Live.
We had a bad moment.
We had a hell of a pitching duel and a rain delay.
We got ball sacked yesterday.
I'm sorry about that.
It was not good.
Really, really unfortunate.
They've got to do a better job of putting a bigger
button. Needs to be bold, red letters. This is not live. This is a replay.
Yeah.
Don't get sacked.
I got sacked. Okay, and because I'm usually the guy that when my team's out, I don't care.
Yeah,
but all of a sudden, like we had a pitcher's duel hookup, and I was sitting there thinking, and then all of a sudden the text started rolling in. It's like, you dumbasses, it's a rain delay.
Naylor's playing, and there's a rain delay.
We have a story about Naylor.
I'm describing the action like it's happening right then and there.
I'm responding to people on text like, no, we're watching it like it's not in a weather delay.
It's really on right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, actually, this is their rain delay theater. For me, I'm very excited about this day baseball extravaganza we have going on because I just don't have time for baseball once I leave here. So this is the only place I get baseball.
So then are you most excited about Mariners Tigers because you should get the whole game, or is it we're all just excited to hopefully see the Yankees lose?
It's no doubt Mariners Tigers. I grew up in rural Washington State.
That's been a really fun series.
I was a Mariners board op at my first radio job. I was never an actual Mariners fan, but I know a lot of people that are Mariners fans, and it'd be cool to see them have success.
Yeah.
You know, I guess trying to win their first playoff series since 2001. When they won the 116 games. I was on the board that year. I was on the board the afternoon.
Hell yeah.
Mike Bassett came into the game for the Indians and handed them one of their 46 losses.
Yeah.
I guess.
In a bananas game.
Yeah.
Crazy.
This is when Dawson was at his most risky, where he would leave the board to run down to the equivalent of the Chevron gas station that we have here to grab some coldies.
Yes.
Just praying to God there wasn't a pitching change. You could line it up because, you know, there would be network break after network break, and as long as you'd hit the legal ID, which back then was at the top and bottom of the hour, you had at least a 15 to 25 minute window where you could go get some beers. And yeah, I don't know what got into me, but even back then, I just told my boss, I was like, yeah, if you're going to have me work on the weekend, I'm going to have a couple of cold beers here while I listen to this game.
Well, that's what got into the alcohol.
They were fine. Yeah. Okay, we just got to update, because I know we were tracking this months ago.
They caught the last guy, right?
They caught the last guy.
Ah, no, really?
The last remaining New Orleans inmate on the run after a jailbreak.
Where'd they get him?
Am I a terrible person? I was hoping he'd make it.
I'm glad you asked. He was found near the corner of Campbellton Road and Honeysuckle Lane.
How far is that from the jail?
Just
hanging out.
So wait a minute. He was back in Louisiana?
Seems like he was still keeping it pretty nice and local, man.
Don't you think that person deserves to get caught then?
Yeah, I mean, he did a hell of a job, right? I mean, he hit the over on all the props on how long it was going to take to find this guy. I can't wait to get the details on exactly what he's been doing.
He was
this
also
time.
Hailed as the smartest of the group. It doesn't appear that way. That might have been an overstatement.
Well, he lasted the longest.
I don't know, man.
That's a long stay. Yeah. Just, you know, less than 100 miles from the a facility you escaped from.
Pretty incredible.
It's pretty good.
I can't wait for the movie.
I think you got to get out of the country somehow.
He's probably
right?
been on a couch for the last six don't months you, playing well, Call of Duty.
Don't you have know? To get down to the Keys, get on a fishing boat, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I would think so.
They got too
somewhere.
Much other crime to focus on.
Go hang
there.
Out with Jimmy Johnson, crack some coldies.
I'm just saying, I think I'm getting down to Florida and
if
hanging out.
If you could
out.
Do that, I bet you're gone because the world's kind of forgot about that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think they're looking for you many places.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that old George Carlin bit where people would be like, don't build a jail by where I live? And he's like, why? Do you think the criminals are going to escape and hang out at your house? He was like, I think that's one of the safest places to be is right by the jail. Because if they escape, they're going to try to get the hell out of there.
Prison Break style. When they got out of there, they just occupied a house for a little bit.
Now, I've heard the first season of Prison Break's amazing.
It's tremendous. Awesome.
After that, is it?
I mean, I still enjoyed it, but it definitely continues to just go downhill.
Okay. Yeah. Did you just say I'm good? I can watch the first season and move on?
Yeah, right around the time they're running away from the airplane that was supposed to get them.
Which also,
Wasn't that Con Air? What show was that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie.
Well, then they had to go to another country and get into a worse prison.
And there's several shows like that. Like, I think Westworld, Heroes, you can watch the first season and be like, wow, that was awesome.
Ted Lasso.
Yeah, and then, everybody ignores the fact that third season was trash because the finale was so good.
The finale was tremendous.
Yeah.
And honestly, you're right. I tell people I think the third season was good, and it's all because of the finale.
Yeah, and its third season is not good, but that finale is awesome.
Yeah, the finale's great.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, Hagee, thanks for asking. Everything developing with your Cowboys right out of the gates here, and we're talking hockey with Greg Wyshynski coming up at 3 o'clock. We're going to ask him some great Stars questions.
And probably up-to-date breakdowns of playoff baseball actually going on.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, like just it. No weather delays, please.
Roll home with the G-Vag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Remember, tomorrow we're going to be live from Tolbert Garage Door. If you'll come out and see us, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say thanks to Lawless, Kevin.
Oh, thank you, Lawless.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.